book of Psalms. And there are so many exciting verses and passages in Psalms. I just love it. And it's hard to choose which one that you want to speak from. Pastor Dane, he spoke a few weeks ago on Psalm 34, and he talked about praise from a cave. And last week, we had the opportunity of hearing Pastor Matthew, and he spoke on Matthew. He spoke on Psalm 51, and Matthew did an awesome job there. And so I asked Dane, I said, if it would be all right, I would like to take my thoughts today out of Psalm chapter 73. And so that's what we're going to be looking at. Jealousy. Everybody say the word jealousy. All right, now, a time of real honesty here. If you have ever been jealous in your lifetime, would you please raise your hand right now? Oh, wow, look at all those sinners out there. I don't have my hand up. I got both of my hands up. We all dealt with, from time to time, jealousy. And when jealousy rears its ugly head, it is something that just shows our fallen nature, our sinful nature. And God wants to take us and say, I want to move you beyond jealousy. I want to move you into a place of contentment. I want to move you to a place beyond jealous of what somebody else has or being envious of what somebody else has. And I want to bring you to a place of contentment in me. How many of you believe that Jesus Christ is able to do that for every one of us? Amen? And so, if you have your Bible this morning, turn with me to the 73rd chapter of Psalms. And this psalm, it begins out it's a psalm of Asaph. Asaph is the guy that is writing it. Asaph is a worship leader. And so as I look at this, I'm thinking, wow, a real live worship leader that is dealing with jealousy. I'm so glad he didn't write about a pastor being involved in it, but as a worship leader. But the worship leader, Asaph, he was consumed with jealousy. Two shopkeepers at a large shopping mall were bitter rivals. The disdain the two shopkeepers had towards each other was equal. Each day, while tending their own stores, they would also take note of the foot traffic of the other store. After one notable good day for one shoe salesman, he smiled big at his rival and gloated in triumph without saying a word. That night, the other shoe salesman, he had a dream, and a genie came and said, I will grant you your wish, but whatever you receive, your competitor will receive twice as much. If you choose to be rich, your rival will become twice as rich. If you choose a long, healthy life, your rival will be healthier and live even longer. So, what's your wish? The man thought for a moment, and then he said, would you strike me blind in one eye and strike me deaf in another of one of my ears? I'll kind of let that sit, and you can kind of think about that. The man was consumed with jealousy. And Asaph begins to write these words. In the first verse, he says this, truly God is good to Israel, to those whose hearts are pure. In Hebrew poetry, a lot of times the writer would give the moral to the psalm at the very start. They would give the moral of the story right at the very beginning. And if you'll notice and keep track of this, the psalmist, Asaph, He gives the moral to the whole psalm right there in verse 1. Truly God is good to Israel, to those whose hearts are pure. As we read through the psalm today, he is going to show us at the very end of the psalm that this verse 1 is what it is all about. To those who are of a pure heart, those are the ones that God is with. But then Asaph says, verse 2. Verse 2 says this, but as for me, truly God is good to Israel, those who are pure heart. But as for me, I almost lost my footing. My feet were slipping, and I was almost gone. There's this little fishing spot in Wellsville, at the Wellsville Dam, the Wellsville Reservoir. And Matthew's the one that showed me this this place. And one day, I went fishing there with Matthew, and then I kind of really got into it. I thought, well, I'm going to go again. So one day after work, got in my truck, and I went out there, and I went to this little spot. Well, there is a hill that you have to walk down, and there's a trail. And then there's this tall grass all around you, and you just walk through the little trail, and then you're right there on the beautiful little reservoir. I had my fishing pole in hand, and I had a towel in this hand, and I was all ready to go get out of my truck. I was so excited. I get down there, and I start walking down this trail. And as I'm walking down this trail, I'm in tennis shoes. My tennis shoes, they slipped. I fell. And when this just happened a couple weeks ago. And when I fell, I rolled, and I rolled some more. And when I thought I was done, I kept rolling. And then after you're all done rolling and you're all by yourself, what is it about you that you get up and you quickly look around to see, did anybody see me just now look like a total fool with my fishing pole still in hand? My feet, they did slip. My feet slipped from underneath. And that is where Asaph was. Asaph says, I almost lost my footing. Asaph, worse than you, I did lose my footing. My feet were slipping. I was almost gone. Why? Why were you almost gone, Asaph? He answers his question in verse 3. He says this, for I envied the proud when I saw them prosper despite their wickedness. Ooh, that hurts. We as believers, we're the ones that should be living under the promises of God. We are the ones that should be living under the riches of God, right? And yet Asaph is looking, and Asaph is watching as I envied the proud. I envied those, and I saw them prosper despite their wickedness. Four. They seem to live such painless lives. In my notes, I've got it underlined. They seem. Can I just tell you something about perspective? And perspective is this. A lot of times when we look at other people and things are really looking like things are going good there, we have this thing in our brain that causes us to put ourselves down sometimes and build other people up and put our situation down and make it look like other people that it's really good for them. And this is what Asaph was going through. Asaph is looking at the prosperity of the rich, and he says to himself, he says, they seem to live such painless lives. I'll bet when they go home tonight, they don't have any pain in their life. I'll bet you they don't have any anxiety in their hearts. I'll bet you they're not upset or anything. They've got money coming in, and they don't have any worries. Friends, let me tell you something. That is not true. The rich, they've got more money, but they just got more problems. You don't know what the problems are that they have. And if you're rich here and you need help, come and we'll help you with your riches. Their bodies are so healthy and strong. They don't have troubles like other people. They're not plagued with problems like everyone else. 6, they wear pride like a jeweled necklace. How many of you remember that program? I can't even think of the name of the program, but the guy had the big black, Mr. T, he had the big... The A-Team, yeah. And he wore that big necklace. And when I was reading this, I can't help but see Mr. T. And just Mr. T and that big necklace that he always wore. And Asaph is saying that they wear pride like Mr. T wears a necklace around his neck. And they clothe themselves with cruelty. We see it all too often in our world today, don't we? We know people that are godless. We know people that hate our God and are full of arrogance. They're full of pride. There's no room for God. The name Jesus Christ comes up, and in their circles, they only use the name in profanity and to take the name of the most beloved Jesus Christ in vain. 7, these fat cats. I like that. When I read that, you know what, sometimes I just read the Bible and sit in my office and I'm reading things. I just sit there and I kind of laugh a little bit and I chuckle. Do you ever do that when you read the Bible? These fat cats. They have everything their hearts could desire. These fat cats, they're arrogant, they're prideful, they're boastful. They've got everything. 8, they scoff. Ouch. And speak only evil in their pride. They speak in their pride. They seek to crush others. In their pride, they seek to crush others. That's what our salesman did at the mall. The shoe salesman. They seek to crush others. They're not happy with what they sell for the day. They're not happy for the profits that they made for the day. They look across the mall and they see what the other guy is doing, and they say, I want that sale also. I want that sale for my store. I want that couple in my store, not in their store. And so goes the way of the wicked. They boast against the very heavens, and their words strut throughout the earth. And so the people are dismayed and confused, drinking in all their words. 11, what does God know? What does God know? Asaph, he's got some questions within himself here. What do they know? He says, does the Most High even know what's happening? The arrogant, they don't have any problem in saying, does he know? The arrogant, the prideful, the unrighteous, they have no problem shaking a fist at God and say, he doesn't know anything, but I know everything. Asaph is really struggling here. His envy and his jealousy goes so deep. Verse 12, look at these wicked people. Enjoying a life of ease while their riches multiply. 13, did I keep my heart pure for nothing? In all honesty, have you ever asked yourself that question? Have you ever compared yourself to somebody else and asked yourself that question? Did I keep, or have I kept, or am I keeping my heart pure for nothing? Did I keep myself innocent for no reason? This is the heart of the guy that is leading worship. He's got his worship team, and yet he's questioning himself these very hard questions. Oh Lord, what's the use of me following you? Lord, what's the use of me hanging in there? Lord, every day I can't help but compare myself to these other people, and honestly, Lord, their life, it looks 10 times better than my life. Their life, Lord, I'd give anything if I could have some of the stuff that is happening in their life in my life, just to be honest with you. 14, I get nothing but trouble all day long. It's one of the most vulnerable psalms that we will read. I get nothing but trouble all day long. Every morning brings me pain. In the King James Version, it says, every morning I am chastened and corrected by you. Wow. It's like, this is not even a fair trade-off. You know, it's like, you know what, okay, sign me up. Maybe I'll be a part of their camp, because, man, it sounds like everything is going good for them. And the life of the psalmist, the life of the worship leader, it just doesn't sound all that good. I get nothing but trouble every day. Verse 15, if I had really spoken this way to others, I would have been a traitor to your people. Verse 16, so I tried to understand why the wicked prosper, but what a difficult task it is. And this morning, this afternoon, this evening, whatever time it is that you're watching this, ask yourself the question, so I tried to understand why the wicked prosper, but what a difficult task it is. And it is a difficult task to try to understand the correlation between the two. Asaph has taken you and I down to the very depths of the jealousy path. Envy path, the confusion path, the resentment path, the despair path. However, what I love about Asaph is he's not going to leave us there. How many of you like when you watch a movie and they've got you really sucked into the movie and you know it's going to end bad for the good guy, and then right at the last, the good guy emerges and boom, and then he wins and the bad guy is taken care of, and then you just feel so good. Yay, we won. I got good news for you. The whole tenure of the passage changes in verse 17. Poor, poor, pitiful me. The song they used to sing years ago, poor, poor, pitiful me. That's Asaph. Asaph is saying, poor, poor, pitiful me. But then with one swift stroke of his pen, he gives to us these words. Verse 17. Then I went into your sanctuary, O God, and I finally understood the destiny of the wicked. Where did he get his perspective? It's a very easy question. It's right up there, the answer. Where did Asaph get his perspective? He went into the sanctuary of the Lord. And when he went into the sanctuary of the Lord, watch how things change for him. Right here. I went into the sanctuary of the Lord, and I finally understood the destiny of the wicked. Truly, O Lord, you put them on a slippery path. Send them sliding over the cliff to destruction. In verse 2, it was Asaph who was slipping. In verse 2, it was Michael that was tumbling. In verse 2, it was Asaph that had the unsure footing. Now it changes, and it is the unrighteous who have the unsure footing and the slippery path. You send them sliding over the cliff to destruction. 19, in an instant, they are destroyed, completely swept away by terrors. When you arise, O Lord, you will laugh at their silly ideas as a person laughs at dreams in the morning. I love Asaph's heart of transparency and vulnerability here. And then he says, then I realized that my heart was bitter and I was all torn up inside. Where did he find this perspective? Where did he realize that his heart was bitter? Where did he realize that I'm all torn up inside? Where did he realize that I can't go on living like this, comparing my life to other people who are doing really well? I can't go on living a life that is full of jealousy. I can't go on living a life of envying other people. When he went into the sanctuary of the Lord, he began to get a whole brand new perspective. Look this, he goes on to say here. I was so foolish and ignorant. I must have seemed like a senseless animal to you. You ever been there? You ever felt like, Lord, I've ranted. Lord, I have raved and went on and on about things. And then you come to your senses and you just say, Lord, you know what? I must have seemed like a senseless animal to you with all of my complaining, with all of my groaning. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me for being like a senseless animal. Verse 23, yet I still belong to you. What can be greater than that? What can be greater than the fact of knowing that I belong to God? And I may not have the gimme hands anymore. Gimme, gimme, gimme. Remember that book, Gimme Hands? Nan's a teacher, and she had that book, Gimme Hands, and it's just about a little gimme guy that wanted everything, and a little cartoon guy. So many times people have been like that, where they're just gimme, gimme, gimme. But I got news for you. When you go into the sanctuary of God, you get perspective, and it's not gimme, gimme, gimme anymore. But now it is, Lord, you hold on to my right hand. That's a sign of ownership. You hold on to my right hand, and I belong to you. It changes. It doesn't matter what we have to that belongs to us. That becomes immaterial. What is important is that, Lord, I am a prize in your sight, and I belong to you. Isn't that what you want in life? Is to know that you belong to Jesus Christ? I want that more than anything. I want that more than anything, to know that I belong to God and that in His sight I am something very valuable. 24, you guide me with your counsel, leading me to a glorious destiny. In the sanctuary. When you go to the sanctuary, it's a time for you to sit. It's time for you to stand. It's time for you to kneel. It's a time for you to be in God's presence so that you can worship Him, so that you can read His Word, so that you can be encouraged in worshiping Him with others. It's a time for us to learn from the Word of God, to get all of these things. And when we're in the sanctuary of the Lord, we learn more about who God is. And as we learn more about who God is, we learn more about the value we are to God. You guide me with your counsel, leading me to a glorious destiny. 25. I love this one. Whom have I in heaven but you? I desire you more than anything on earth. Wow. Tell me the Holy Spirit isn't moving in Asaph's heart to pen these beautiful words. He's penning these words because the Holy Spirit is revealing to him. And the Holy Spirit is telling him, he says, I desire you more than anything on earth. 26, he says this. He says, my health may fail and my spirit may grow weak, but God remains the strength of my heart, and He is mine forever. Isn't that great? He's mine forever. Asaph is telling us now, I'm not only his, but now a couple verses later, he's saying, I am his and he is mine. My health may fail. My spirit may grow weak. Really? My health may fail. Yeah, you know what? Every one of us. Good news for every one of us. We're all dying. Every one of us is dying. Everyone, you know what? One of us may have a disease and it's been diagnosed. Others of us have diseases in our body that just haven't been diagnosed yet. Every one of us is dying. It is appointed unto every one of us to die. Isn't that a good thought? And then the judgment. But the good news is this. When we die, we go to be with Him. Hallelujah. I call that a great trade-off. Amen. I call that the great win for every single one of us. My health may fail, uh-huh. My spirit may grow weak, uh-huh. But God remains the strength of mine, and He is mine forever. How long is forever? Forever. Last verse. Those who desert Him will perish, for you destroy those who abandon you. But as for me, how good it is to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my shelter, and I will tell everyone about the wonderful things you do. If you're keeping notes online with us today or here in the chairs, let me just give you several thoughts here that I have, some principles pertaining primarily to jealousy. Number one, jealousy destroys others. Number two, jealousy destroys you. I'm not expecting any amens on that. Jealousy destroys others. Jealousy destroys you. How do I overcome jealousy? We just read it. How do I overcome jealousy? Return to the sanctuary. Number two, renounce jealousy as sin. If you have jealousy, renounce it as sin. Lord, I've had a sin problem and it's called jealousy. I bring it to you right now. Number three, remember your rival in prayer. Remember your rival in prayer. Remember the shoe salesman across the hall at the mall. Instead of having arrogance and pride towards him, remember your rival in prayer. Who's your rival? Who are you jealous against? When you go to the sanctuary, all of a sudden, none of the stuff that your rival has matters to you. What matters now is that I belong to God, He belongs to me. That's the main thing. Now, Lord, I'm praying for my rival. Number four, reaffirm God's goodness to you. In the sanctuary, reaffirm God's goodness to you. Hey, Lord, I remember all the good things that you've done to me. Lord, I look at all the things that you have already done to me. There's not a person in this room that can say that God has not abundantly blessed your life to date so far. There's not a person here, there's not a person watching that cannot say God has not blessed my life. God has blessed every one of our lives immensely. And if you get in one of those jealous moments and you return to the sanctuary, reaffirm God's goodness to you. And number five, rekindle God's love in your heart. Rekindle God's love in your heart. Would you stand with me? As you rekindle God's love in your heart, what happens is that we're in the sanctuary, and as we're in the sanctuary and we begin to worship God and we begin to turn our eyes upon Jesus, the things of this earth become strangely dim. I love that hymn song that we used to sing years ago. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful grace, and the things of earth, oh, I'm looking at you're singing it right now, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Oh Lord, may we turn our eyes upon you. And when we turn our eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, the things of earth are going to grow strangely dim in the light of who He is, in the light of His loving grace. With your heads bowed, I'd like to just pray for our congregation here. For those of you that are watching online, we want to pray with each one of you as well, that the Lord will help us. And so right now, Lord Jesus, I thank you for this psalm and for the way that it speaks to every one of us. And I just pray, Lord, that any one of us that is going through a part of our life right now where that jealousy is in us, may we return to the sanctuary. And I'm so glad to know, Lord, that sanctuary is in our home, It can be in our office. It can be here in a building. It's that place that we go and we call upon your name. Right now, Lord Jesus, I pray that you would allow forgiveness to flow through every single individual. Lord, I thank you for the words of hope that Asaph gives to us, the way that this psalm ends on such a high note, and that is return to the sanctuary and let God give us proper perspective. I ask this, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.